Chapel Service, April 25, 1989, Missionary Day. The speaker is Fran Cook, US2ER Canada, Home Mission Board.
Thank you. To worship today is Psalm 100. Hear these words from our Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.
May we pray together. Our Father, we thank thee for this day that thou hast given us, for the privilege of sharing it together, and for knowing the joy that only thou canst give. We thank thee for the privilege of being thy church and of sharing life together in this school. For mission in this place and around the world, we acknowledge thy lordship and thy sending and express our gratitude that we can be part of going from here to there to all the world in the name of Jesus Christ. So let it be that as we center our thoughts on mission this day, that we might place our eyes upon thee and give our hearts to the leadership of thy Spirit, and our lives to the carrying out of thy purpose. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his sake. Amen. If I were to say this day that it's a pleasure for me to introduce our Missionary Day speaker, I would be guilty of the most gross understatement of the year. I hardly know how to express my own thoughts. They are mingled with pride and love, but also with a deep sense of gratitude for the hour and for the sense of God's purpose in what we do. Fran Cook is a graduate of Wake Forest University and a first-year student here at Southeastern Seminary. She also happens to be the youngest daughter of Kay and me. And I thought as I heard Kay read the call to worship, enter into his presence with joy and thanksgiving. The happiness that we experience today is mingled only with the depth of the sense of responsibility that all of us have in mission. Fran has brought joy, and I suspect her signature in life is laughter. The laughter that she not only shares from her own lips, but that she brings to the lives of others. For 2 years, she was with our home mission board in U.S. 2 work in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. She was part of our ministry to the Winter Games Olympics. And in that ministry, she had responsibilities for communication and evangelism. She entered upon that ministry with gusto and with love, and she shared her faith with all those who would listen. I think her ministry on our campus has been much the same way, sharing the gospel in love. And following the reading of Scripture and the special music, Fran will bring our Missionary Day address. Our scripture has an Olympic signature to it. Paul speaking in, first of all, in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 24, or verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, that though not being myself under the law, I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not that being without law toward God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it in order to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. With that same motif of striving, Ben Sirach records in chapter 4, verse 28, strive for the truth even unto death, and the Lord your God will fight alongside of you.
Lord, 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 have mercy. Well, for those of you who ever wondered, curiously thought, Dr. Cook is not just Dr. Cook to me, he's my father. He's not really my father, he's my dad. Sometimes I call him Pop. So if you ever see somebody across campus yelling, "Dad!" it might be me calling Dr. Cook. And the beautiful woman who read the call to worship is my mother, Kay Cook, just in case you hadn't caught that. It's an honor for me today at Southeastern to speak, particularly on Missionary Day. When Dr. Tolbert wrote me over a year ago to request this engagement, I did not think either one of us ever thought that I would be back in North Carolina, back in Wake Forest, and back at Southeastern, of all places, studying toward a Master's of Divinity. You see, you need to understand that I practically grew up on this campus, climbing the trees and feeding the squirrels, playing massive games all over the grounds, contemplating life on the steps of the chapel, learning from the seminary students, and even laughing at them at times. Believe it or not, I even use the library occasionally. I use it so much now, there's a vicious rumor going around that they're going to start charging me rent. Let's hope they don't. I don't think I could afford it. I started classes this past January and realized that I'm still in love with this place and with this school. I must admit that I never realized how much there is to learn. You know what they say, or at least I've always said it, the more you learn, the more you learn you need to learn more. I won't say that again, you can just think about that. When my graduation from university loomed closer and closer in the May of 86, I knew that I wanted to continue learning, but not in the classroom situation. That is one of the many reasons I ended up on the mission field. My experiment was successful, and I learned much more than you could ever imagine. In a quick nutshell, the greatest thing that I learned is that the best thing you can do for people is to just love them where they are and for who they are. For those of you who have gotten to know me over the last few months, you will not be surprised at all by the type of missions in which I became involved. I served under the Special Mission Ministries Department of the Home Mission Board as a U.S. to resort and leisure missionary. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? This program is more or less equivalent to the Foreign Mission Board's Journeyman Program, and you can ask Dana Wallace, first-year student here as well at Southeastern, about that program, except that it involves missions at home in the United States. I purposely chose the U.S. 2 program over the Journeyman because I thought we Americans and Southern Baptists should concentrate on getting that log out of our own eye rather than that splinter out of the other person's eye. Of course, there's always an exception to every rule, and one usually ends up where Christ compels. In other words, instead of somewhere in the United States, I ended up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, as coordinator of Winter Games Ministry in the area of public relations and communications. The focus of this special ministry was the 1988 Olympic Winter Games, also another disappointment. Talk about an adventure and an opportunity to serve God. My family can attest to my love for adventure, my friends to my love for nature, the guys in the weight room to my love for athletics, and my professors to my love for communication. I seem always to have a question or comment. I think God worked it out very nicely when he called me to Canada and to the Olympics to serve him. Canada is our neighbor to the north. She's twice the size of the U.S., but has only a quarter of our population. Canada is a bilingual nation, essentially preferring French in the east and English in the Midwest to west. Southern Baptists are relatively new on the scene. The Canadian Convention of Southern Baptists was established in Calgary in 1984 and includes approximately 85 churches across Canada. You'll be excited to hear that the first Canadian Southern Baptist Theological Seminary opened classes in 1987, just outside of Calgary in the town of Cochrane, a town about the size of Wake Forest. You can understand why Canadian Southern Baptists were interested in establishing an Olympic ministry with all these things going on in the convention and in the proximity of Calgary. Calgary rests in the southern portion of Alberta, the province of Alberta, which is just north of Montana. She has a population of about 700,000 people, a city larger than any in North Carolina. Yet she has only 5 Southern Baptist churches. 2 of these churches have buildings, the other 3 do not. The average membership is 65. You're certainly out of the Bible Belt. But personally, I found that kind of refreshing and enlightening. Calgary is a beautiful city of towering office parks, graceful parks, and growing suburbs. She towers over the prairie which surrounds her and yet is overshadowed by the Rocky Mountains to her west. One of the many reasons why she was chosen as a site for the 1988 Olympic Winter Games. Now, the Olympics, you need to understand, is much more than just athletic challenges. It is a festival celebrating human diversity. Pierre de Coubertin, French scholar, was a founder of the modern-day Olympics, and he said, "The important thing in the Olympic Games is not to win, but to take part. The important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. The essential thing is not to have conquered, but to have fought well. It's not bad for an ideal." So why are Southern Baptists at the Olympics? It's like Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthians. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run, or in my case, bike, that you may obtain it. For every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." The purpose of Winter Games ministry, hereafter referred to as WGM, was to develop awareness of evangelic opportunities in resort and leisure settings, particularly the Olympic Games. Now, I arrived in Calgary to begin my work almost a year and a half prior to the actual beginning of the Games. This was necessary in order to develop relationships with individuals in the religious community, the city and provincial government employees, and the Olympic Committee. One of my jobs was to plant and cultivate these relationships. Essentially, in the beginning, this involved making phone calls, writing letters, speaking in all kinds of churches, Southern Baptist and otherwise, meeting with public officials, your basic luncheons and dinners, and so on. Getting a foundation set. The idea was to teach them all the dynamics of this kind of ministry and evangelism. A kind of evangelism and ministry resort and leisure style. Evangelism resort and leisure style is nothing more, nothing less than biblical missions extended to resort or special event setting. It is an attempt to minister and witness in Jesus' name within the special dynamics of a resort or special event setting. This is a setting where people spend free time away from their regular routine in the office or in the home. Like the beach or the ski slope, the Olympics or World's Fair. Renee O'Neill, another first-year student here, was coordinator of Expo Ministries in Vancouver, BC. That was a Southern Baptist ministry to the World's Fair. You can get a few insights from her as well. Special Missions is a puppet show on a pedestrian mall. It's mimes in a park, roving clowns in a children's hospital, a cup of hot chocolate in Jesus' name on a cold day. Each one of these an aspect of WGM, Special Missions. The Olympic Ministry, Special Missions Ministries, is people in action. People ministering to people in God's name. People who love people. People able to share God's love in a unique way, in a unique setting. People able to become all things to all persons, that they might by all means save some. One of the things that people at the Home Mission Board and my fellow workers at WGM used to tease me about was shower power evangelism, because I spent a good deal of my time in the fitness center, which was in the basement of our office building, just doing the normal things that Fran Cook likes to do, aerobics, lifting weights, socializing. But at the time when I was doing this, I was also sharing with these people who I was, where I came from, and why I was in Calgary, to share a special relationship that I had with God. It's shower power evangelism. Ministry is the key to evangelism, resort and leisure style. True evangelism must have a balance of ministry and proclamation. Ministry, meeting the needs of people, and proclamation, sharing the good news of Christ. Ministry is the key because it establishes a relationship of credibility and trust, and because it literally opens doors. For example, WGM established a ministry at Sunshine Village Ski Resort in Banff, which is about 1.5 hours west of Calgary. We began our work by discussing the needs of the resort with the Sunshine Village staff and how WGM might be able to meet those needs. We offered to provide creative entertainment for their lift lines and an interdenominational service Sunday mornings on the mountain. They tentatively accepted our offer, and our relationship began. This was the first sort of ministry of its kind in Alberta, in any of the mountain resorts, so it was a new experience for us all. We established ourselves as caring, trustworthy Southern Baptists, and both the entertainment and the services were a grand success. Services on the mountain in the grandest cathedral ever designed by God, the Rocky Mountains, were larger in number than those of our services in Calgary. Once the winter season was over, however, we thought that our ministry also would be over, at least for the winter. However, the staff at Sunshine Village called us and asked us if we would renew the services in the summer. We heartily accepted. That's why ministry is the key. Another example is Heritage Park. We used a creative arts team there to help them out with picnics. Now, a creative arts team is a 4 or 6 member team of university students skilled in such things as puppetry, mime, singing, clowning, etc. Now, specifically in Heritage Park, we were not allowed to perform any religious material, and we were not allowed to proselytize, which is a big word. But all that meant was we had to depend upon relational evangelism. And as the summer went through, our relationship with the staff and with the staff's family grew. And although we could not perform any religious material, we could share with them, once again, who we were, why we were in Calgary, and why our relationship with God was so important to the existence of our lives. At the end of the summer, a 13-year-old daughter of one of the staff members, Joan, accepted Christ. That's why ministry is a key to evangelism. That is why, to the skier, we became as skiers, and to the park staff, park staff. In order to win the skiers, and the park employees or their children to Christ. This is our obligation, to love. This means of ministry and proclamation is based upon Christ's example. Jesus gave the mandate to minister in the Great Commission. He also charged us to be his witnesses in all nations. As we study Christ's ministry, we observe that he practiced a hands-on, whole-person ministry. He was concerned with and met not only spiritual needs, but physical, emotional, and social needs as well. True biblical evangelism involves ministry to the whole person. This is a theological base of special missions and WGM. The philosophy of our approach is the marketplace ministry, Christ modeled, meeting the needs of the people and sharing the good news where they are gathered, where the people are. Special events, such as the Olympics, provide a unique opportunity to minister and to witness to multitudes of people. The philosophy of our participation in special events is in the practicality of sharing Christ wherever people gather. To establish a credible witness at these events, we must present ourselves with integrity and quality as caring people. It is today's application of an ancient model, the marketplace ministry of Jesus Christ. Ministry is the means by which we authenticate our evangelism. The 1988 Olympic Winter Games presented us with numerous opportunities to provide needed practical and personal ministries to visitors, athletes, Olympic staff and volunteers, and Calgarians. You noticed at the beginning of the program or in the description thing about me that I received an award from the Alberta government. Well, it wasn't that I did such wonderful things to help build the foundation of the Olympic Committee or anything like that. I simply participated in opening ceremonies. You might not like this too much, but I danced in opening ceremonies. I was one of 500 people. I felt rather honored, however, to be chosen out of a very large number of people trying out for this dance. And it was quite an honor, particularly as a missionary and as an American, to be in the Canadian Olympics, to be a participant in that aspect. A lot of people ask me if I was in the downhill. No, I just danced in opening ceremonies. But I was able to, in that relationship, to make more friends and meet new people and share with them. And people all the time were asking me questions. You might not think I have a strange accent, but then again, you might, but they certainly did. And they'll never believe you if you say I've lost my southern accent, because it always was a time for them to question me, where I was from, what I was doing, why I was in Calgary. And I was always ready to share. And the fact that I was able to be one with them was quite an asset. Our goals for Winter Games ministry were straightforward. One, to proclaim the gospel. Two, to minister to physical, spiritual, and social needs. Three, to establish credibility as caring Southern Baptists. Four, to develop missions awareness in our local churches. Five, to establish ongoing ministries. This particularly was important as I worked with numerous churches and numerous denominations that I'd never heard of down south, just like they had never heard of Southern Baptists in the Great White North. One man, an associate pastor in a church that didn't happen to be Southern Baptist, talked to me about some work that he had done in Canmore, which is the site of the Nordic Center, where they did the cross-country skiing, biathlon, and all that. They had had a ministry there a year or two before They took a fiery musical there and had several salvations, somewhere along 10 or 15. And he was rather, you know, pleased with that. And I was excited for him as well. But I asked him, you know, what the deal was now. How were they being discipled? And he didn't know, because they had no follow-up program. They had their salvations, and they were gone. And that's, discipleship is a very important part of our ministry and of our evangelism. So we were very careful to try to establish these follow-up programs and ongoing ministries. That's why our goal number 6 was to develop follow-up programs. We were based in the local churches. Our local churches were there to continue some of our ministries. And 7, to establish new congregations. The major tools we used were, firstly, the local church. The local church was the foundation of our ministry. We didn't do anything that the local church did not approve and would not support us in order to have these follow-up programs and ongoing ministries. Secondly, we used creative arts teams. I've discussed the utility of the creative arts teams. We had 3 of these teams during the Olympics, and we were able to grow in one particular setting on Stephen Avenue Mall from doing one religious pop crossover song by Amy Grant to doing 5 or 6 religious songs because our relationship developed with the mall employees and with the people who spent their time on the mall. We grew in that relationship and proved ourselves with integrity. We also used evangelism teams. Now, you guys, Southeasterners, should be familiar with evangelism teams because you sent one in 1980 to the Lake Placid Games in New York. I don't know how many of you are aware of that, but that was quite insightful, and I commend you for that. The evangelism teams accompanied our creative arts teams in public settings. If we were performing in a pedestrian mall or in a public place, the evangelism teams, made up of local church members from different churches, would accompany the team, and they would share with people who were watching the creative arts team. They were quite an asset. And our 4th major tool was an evangelism lapel pin. If any one of you have ever done much research on the Olympics or have ever been to an Olympic, you know that besides the sporting events, the greatest event of the Olympics is pin trading. You get people coming to the Olympics just to trade pins. I have one pin that's worth $75 on the market value just because it's an opening ceremony pin. You know, probably cost $5 to make at the most. Pin trading. And so we decided that that would be a unique way to follow suit and to evangelize at the same time. So we at WGM designed our own lapel pin, and we used that pin to trade with other people. We took the pin and we punched it into a business card, which on the back explained the symbols of the pin on the front and shared an evangelistic message. It was a great tool. The places where Southern Baptists could be seen were many and varied. We could be seen at Olympic venue sites, such as the bobsled site, hockey games, ice skating sites. We could be seen at the Awards Plaza. Stephen Avenue Mall, where much of our ministry focused, is a downtown pedestrian mall which opens to the Olympic Awards Plaza. And we had established a very good relationship with the manager of that mall. And so he helped us get on stages all over the mall. We were never on the Olympic stage per se, but we were there. Another site would be the Canmore Coffee House. I spoke of Canmore earlier as site of the Nordic Center. We established a coffee house there, which catered to children of the town, adults, and the athletes. We had the whole U.S. biathlon team in there the first night. That was really exciting. Not just to look at the nice-looking young men, but to be able to share with them who we were and what we were about. And our performances there, we can control because that was our coffee house. And we provided light entertainment as well as evangelical entertainment. Another site was a children's hospital. Another, nursing homes, care centers. We provided Sunday morning services, Wednesday afternoon services, and we just provided entertainment, trying to bring smiles, bring a little light into the lives of others, and to explain that the light of our lives was the light of Christ. We were in Southern Baptist churches, leading more or less revivals, and we were in other denominational churches, sharing with them. We were at Sunshine Village Ski Resort. We were in schools, and we were in prisons. We were just about everywhere you could be in Calgary. Other areas, like these are general areas that we were, but other areas where you could minister would be like myself, out on the soccer field. The first entire summer I was there, I played soccer with the city team. And one of the women on my team happened to also work out at the same fitness club as I and attended my church every now and then. And just 2 months ago, she joined the church and is going to be baptized. All because I played soccer and we were able to grow in a relationship. The tools of our ministry, the creative arts, the lapel pin, were used to get people's attention, to earn the right to be heard, and build relationships that enabled us to be heard, and then to be heard with the good news of Jesus Christ. The work of Winter Games ministry did not end with 1988 or the Olympics, because it may continue in you and in me. We have an equal mission and responsibility as Christians to meet the needs of people and to share the good news wherever they are gathered, beginning here in Wake Forest. The church must use all practical and ethical means to proclaim the Christian message of reconciliation to all people. We must be personal and intentional. Our outreach programs and our language must be designed to reach a secular people and to embrace them in love. Christ has freed us from the bondage of sin, but we are not free from our obligation to love. You and I can participate in our own Olympic ministry. The focus is the field of life. Observe our obligation to love and be the light of the world.
We thank Thee, O God, for the message of this hour and for the one who has been Thy messenger. We thank Thee for the privilege of loving and of becoming light in the world. Give us, we pray, a mission here and to the ends of the earth, and may through our lives the love of God be proclaimed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.